Welcome to the On Purpose Show with Susan Reeve and Rick Hansen. For compelling conversations, opening doors to discover and live a life work that's alive with passion and purpose. And now, here are Susan and Rick.
Hi, this is Rick, and a warm welcome to today's episode of the On Purpose Show. Hey, Susan.
Hi, Rick. As usual, great to be here with you. And I'm really excited about today's topic. You don't need to do this alone, because it's certainly been true for both of us. I don't think we would be on the show today if it wasn't for the support that we get from one another.
This is true. And, you know, this is a theme, this you don't have to do it alone, is probably one of the main themes over the past year and a half that's come up as we've been interviewing people about their process of finding purposeful work.
Yeah, and I think it's important to keep in mind that on this ongoing journey of work that we're passionate about and that really speaks to what our gifts, talents, and skills are, is that you can be sure that you're going to be stuck along the way, whether it's stuck in uncertainty about what do I do, or if it's an obstacle in your path, even though you have clarity about what you're going to do. And really creating a community of support is so crucial when we're facing anything in life.
Yes. And, you know, one something I've found in my own experience for me and the people I work with is that the biggest way we get stuck is we get stuck in our head. You know, we feel like we should be able to figure this out, and we're not. We're having ideas, but we also see obstacles. So the word spin I hear from a lot of people, it's like, oh, it's just spinning in my head. And if there was one thing, you know, there's more than one thing, but if there was only one thing I could offer to someone who was felt like they were kind of spinning about what's next, it would be, you know, you don't have to do this alone.
Yeah, a crucial message. I totally agree.
Well, our show today is a special show because it's one of our Perspective on Purpose episodes, which we do about every 12 episodes. And instead of our normal format of interviewing an author or an expert, today it's you and I getting to dive in, and from our combined, you know, something like 50 years of experience, mm-hmm. supporting people in making big changes for more purpose. We get to explore this topic.
Yeah, and it is certainly an exciting topic to explore, and I wonder if maybe the best way to start this is for each of us to tell a story about how support made a big difference in our lives. Do you want to go first, Rick?
Sure. You know, my dad was Norwegian, so I'm part Norwegian, and I sometimes call it my Norwegian handicap, even though I'm proud of that heritage. But other people may relate to this from other cultures as well. But I think I grew up with this kind of do-it-yourself mentality. Often when I want to do something or find out about something, I don't automatically look around for support. My first response is, okay, I can do this myself. You know, whether it's making a website or, you know, doing something I have no skill in, it's like, oh, I could do that. So last time I went through a big change and what I call between dreams, where I really just didn't know anymore what it is I even wanted next, I got pretty stuck. I would say I was on the fence for a long time, and even though I had all the tools and, of course, thought, well, I should be able to do this. I mean, you know, I've helped people move through this particular phase for years. I was stuck, and having the tools wasn't enough. And at some point, I realized, oh, I'm trying to do this alone again. And as soon as I reached out and found some support and created a small mastermind group of people, and I found some structure, I signed up for a program that, you know, was really helpful and that it gave me a structure to focus my intention. Because I already had the tools, once I added those pieces, suddenly things started moving, and it led good places. So that's my story. I'd love to hear yours, Susan.
Yeah, well, one that just popped into my mind is I was, and this is an old, it's actually an old story. It has been repeated in my life over and over again as I've stepped into new chapters. And I was working in a full-time job, and I noticed after many months that I was complaining about the job to anybody who would listen. I was really, really miserable. And yet I didn't know what I wanted to do next. I was pretty sure that continuing to complain was not going to change the situation for me. And so one day in a meditation, I said to myself, how long is this going to take for me to be clear? And what I heard was 1 year. And I trusted that still small voice within. And I had two friends, and they're still my friends, who were in a similar place. And what we decided to do was that we would meet every 3 or 4 weeks, and we do a visualization, we talk about what we wanted to do, we'd make commitments to one another, and then we'd meet a few weeks later. So that's called a mastermind group now. And what was so powerful about it for me is that 1 month I came up with the idea that I wanted to open a bed and breakfast in New England. And during that month, actually, I think I explored this for about 2 months. During that 2 month period, I went up, I met with realtors. And after 2 months, I just wasn't interested in it anymore. And what was so great about this support is there was no judgment if a particular idea just fell off the radar screen, because we had each agreed that we would give ourselves a year to get clear. And within a year, I had a whole new vision for my life, which really led to the consulting work that I did for another 30 years, and that was so fulfilling for me. I really know that without these friends, people I trusted, who were willing to listen, willing to make suggestions, and willing to be present to my uncertainty, I don't know if I would have come up with such a great decision that really was generated from the inside out for me. So that's one of my stories that comes to mind, you know, and continues in terms of the mastermind group that we're part of, that we have calls every 2 weeks, and just using, allowing myself to ask for help was really the first hurdle that I faced.
Something I love about your story, Susan, is that you included both internal and external support. So you received some guidance internally, and you reached out for external support. So I know we'll give some attention to both those things later in our conversation. This theme is one that strikes me regularly in my experience working with clients, because I do a lot of small group programs. And when people sign up for those programs, they're really not explicitly looking for other people going through change, or, you know, what they're looking for is an answer. but often the thing that surprises them is that one of the most healing parts of the experience is to be in a room with other people that are asking similar questions. And suddenly, all the judgments that they have about themselves, and that, you know, maybe they're just, maybe it's their fault, melt away, because they find other really smart and creative and interesting people that are asking similar questions. And suddenly it's like, oh, we're in this together. So I was doing a workshop about a year or so ago, and one of the participants early on said, wait, I got it. I don't have to do this alone. And it just became this mantra for the day that everyone is like, oh, yeah, never thought of that. So it can make a huge difference.
Yeah, it's so important. I have had similar experiences for about 25 years, I was leading management development programs at Mount Sinai Medical Center in New York. And so because I had been there so long, I would often meet people in the halls or on the streets as I walked from one building to the next who had been in a program years before. And what I heard repeatedly when I asked people, well, what is it about the program that was most valuable for you? And the first answer repeatedly was the community of support, that I met other people who were in the same boat, that I now have people who share a similar language who I can call when I feel stuck, or who I can call when I want to celebrate an accomplishment that I've had. So it's so important. Mm-hmm. I would love to read a quote that I have in my book, The Inspired Life, which has a chapter on creating a community of support. And it's an Albert Schweitzer quote. And it's, at times our own light goes out and is rekindled by a spark from another person. Each of us has cause to think with deep gratitude of those who have lighted the flame within us. And I think that's such a crucial part of a community of support. I think it's also important to have an understanding of what are the obstacles, what gets in the way of our reaching out to others, what gets in the way of our really asking for the kind of support that we most need. And you mentioned one that I think is so crucial, Rick, in your story that you attribute to your Norwegian heritage. And I think this is across the board for many people, and that is the myth of it's better if I do it myself. This desire for strong independence.
Yes, and you know, I know that for, and this may vary a little bit with gender, but certainly I, as a man, I can say that in male culture, there is this sense of kind of like, do it yourself. You know, you should be able to. You don't need help. And that may show up a little bit differently for women. What's your experience of that?
Well, I just want to, something pops into my mind. Is that why it's been so difficult before there were GPSs for men to ask for directions?
Yes.
You know, what I think with women, I think women are very eager to give help to others and are not as good as asking for it. And I think underneath that isn't, you know, sometimes it's certainly I should be able to do it myself. And I think there's a part of not wanting to be a burden on others and anticipating that my asking for help is going to be a burden on you and I don't want to make something difficult for you. And what I've discovered about that over the years is, you know, when I ask for help, and you really know you can say yes or no, then I'm really having an adult relationship with you. If I'm anticipating, well, you have too much on your plate, you're busy, you're not going to want to do it, I'm really taking away from you having the capacity to make choices that really work for you.
Yes. I think something you touch on as well, you know, and where there's hesitation to ask for support is it's a vulnerable thing. It's not uncommon around the career area to feel like we should have this figured out and to have some embarrassment when we go through a phase, which is, as we know, so natural, where you've outgrown the old thing and the new thing isn't clear yet. But there's still that sense that you should always know what you want and you should certainly be on your way there. So we don't share easily that, you know, maybe we don't know what we want or where we're headed next.
Yeah, I mean, that vulnerability, I was just faced with it the other day. I was feeling overwhelmed with everything on my plate that I've got to do before I go out of town. And so consequently, I was feeling so overwhelmed that nothing was getting done. I was sitting staring at my computer and almost not knowing where to begin. And so I picked up a phone and I called a friend and I said, I need therapy. And spoke for really a very short period of time. Maybe we spoke for about 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes at the most. And what I was aware of is that there was a time in my life when I was younger that I wouldn't have made that call. I would have initially decided that I didn't want to be a burden to someone else. But as you said, there would be a part within me that I didn't want to be vulnerable. I didn't want anybody to think I wasn't in control. I didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, having those, whether it's, you know, somebody to call sometime and to say, remind me of who I am. Remind me of my accomplishments. Or, you know, tell me, what would you do in this situation? But, you know, it really does take a village to live our dreams. Because for the most part, our dreams are bigger than us. We haven't been there before.
It does take a village to live your dreams. I love that. Since I work mostly with people that are making a big career change midlife, I've seen some myths around this related specifically to career. And it's kind of an offshoot of a very positive thing, because one of the most popular books out there, and one that I just, you know, is, you know, I often recommend, especially for the job search part of things, is What Color Is Your Parachute? Mm-hmm. And Richard Bowles, the author, is, you know, a fabulous person and has really made a difference. And when that book came out, one of the big messages of it is kind of you can do this yourself. At the time there, you know, if you wanted to figure out maybe your strengths or my gifts, you might go and have someone else give you a test and kind of tell you. And part of the message of the book was the value of self-assessment. And the problem with that is, you know, so, you know, the idea is, well, yeah, I can do it alone. I'll just go out and get a book and go through the exercises. And, you know, that can be a helpful starting point, and I have seen people find real help out of that. But also I can say that almost everyone I've ever worked with has already done that, and they're still stuck. And they're thinking, well, I did the thing, you know, that I was supposed to do, and I still don't know what's next.
Yeah, I think it's important also to keep in mind about how popular support groups are in our culture. And, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous began in 1935 and has certainly branched out far beyond alcoholics to, you know, overeating, to drugs, to gambling. I think it's called Debtors Anonymous. And the power of community and the power of support that really enables us to get connected. Because when I'm feeling isolated, I'm really disconnected from myself. I'm disconnected from that source energy. I'm disconnected from that still small voice. And I can use somebody else's belief in me or hear somebody else's story. You know, there is a saying that misery loves company. And, you know, when we hear that we're not alone, there's this sense of relief and a sense of hopefulness that then lets us identify and take the next step to for work that really is a reflection of our purpose.
Like that, yes. Well, let's talk a little bit about, you get to a place where you actually realize, I need to reach out for support. You and I talked about, you know, that there's different types of support that can be helpful and sometimes will fit a different need. And in general, they fall into the two categories, which is similar. I used to do a lot of work with mentoring organizations, and they really talked about that the role of a mentor in many ways had two components, and one of those was emotional support, and the others was the more kind of expert or, you know, the experienced guide. And it seems like the types of support that we need to reach out for are often some combination of those two things.
Yeah, and I think what's really important here is that when I need emotional support, so when I'm questioning my competence, my ability, when I'm feeling fearful and anxious, when I'm uncertain, the kind of support that I need at that moment is to be heard. And sometimes, I think this actually happens oftentimes, as a helper, it's very easy to jump into giving expert support. Do this, do that, mm-hmm. do this, do that. Mm-hmm. And when I'm in the midst of emotional turmoil, expert support, unless that is specifically what I have asked for, expert support is a different language.
Mm-hmm.
And I really can't take it in. And so it's really crucial to have a sense of what is the support that I need right now. Because if you come to me asking for help, but don't tell me the kind of help you need, I'll give you what I think is helpful. And it really may not be what's most beneficial for you.
Beautiful point, yes. When people are looking for support, one place to look is to find a guide. And often guides can bring both those things. They know the territory you're traveling really well, and they can bring the emotional support. So that can take different forms. Coaching is certainly one of those, and both you and I as coaches get to act in that capacity. Also, one of our recent guests, Tina Gilbertson, and author of the book Constructive Wallowing, she's a therapist, and we heard some rich stories during that episode of, you know, what a wonderful role a therapist can play when it's a good fit to help someone navigate through some new internal territory and find a new approach to living that feels more free.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I've discovered as both as a coach and in my personal life, when people call and ask for help, and I ask them, you know, what would be helpful here? And they might say something. They might not even know how to address that. I sometimes have to spell out for them, well, what would be helpful? You want me to listen to you and tell you what I've just heard? Do you want me to give you advice? Do you want me to remind you of who you are and the accomplishments that you've had? But the other thing is, I find that particularly when I'm giving advice that someone has asked for, is that I ask them where it's landed. You know, what does this sound like to you? Is this helpful? Rather than my making the assumption, much earlier in my career, I was making the assumption that anything I said was helpful. And as I've gotten older, I've really learned to check out with the person I'm working with or with the friend who's called in the midst of some turmoil. Is this helpful? And if it is, great. And if it isn't, then what would be helpful?
I love that. Seems like that could be helpful in multiple ways.
I'll tell you, I find it extremely helpful in family situations. There have been many times in personal situations where I've spoken with my stepdaughter and I'm ready to jump in and give advice immediately. I have strong opinions and I always have to bite my tongue and say, what would be helpful for you right now? Because if she's in an emotional place and I'm giving logical, rational suggestions, it's possible that she's going to become defensive. And I'm just using her as an example. This is true for people in general.
Yeah, I find this in small groups that I get to work with where, you know, we are consciously creating a support community among the participants, and we always have a ground rule about not offering advice, because, you know, that's often the first thing that comes to mind when you start seeing how valuable someone is. You just think, oh, this is so obvious. So we have a ground rule where people need to check in and see if something would be what the person needs or wants before offering it.
Yeah, there's another kind of support I want to mention that I think is really crucial, and I don't have a better word for it. Maybe you do, Rick. It's the kind of support that, like, calls you on your game. It's someone who works with you in a loving, caring way. You know, you've been complaining for the past year about how you want to leave this job, and you don't know what you want to do. How can I support you in moving forward? Because it seems like there's been a year of complaining and there's been no movement. No, without a judgment about it, but to really hold up that mirror to the person you care about and say, you know, if you really want to move, then move. Otherwise, find a way that being in this work now serves you.
So kind of tough love.
Yes.
And I think sometimes we will seek those people out. We'll know the people in our lives that are likely to be, just by their nature and their gifts, they're willing to be direct, but in a way that doesn't carry judgment or that we don't, you know, respond defensively to.
Yes. And then I also, you know, something else in terms of support is I have found that when I call someone, like when I called the friend last week and said, I need therapy, I also said to her, do you have time for a conversation right now? You know,
nice.
I wasn't so at the end of my rope that I couldn't wait, but to really check out to see if somebody is available for it, because sometimes in people's desire to help, they say yes when really it's not the best time. And I'd rather have somebody available a little later when they can really be present than somebody who's there immediately but their mind is someplace else.
When we think about types of support, so we gave some attention to, like, finding a guide, finding someone that resonates with you, who knows the territory you're traveling and can really be a support and, you know, help you see the progress and also, you know, acknowledge movement. It made me think of William Neal, who we interviewed, and, you know, he made a successful career in an area that people often think, oh, you can't make a living. And, you know, he did this as a photographer, but he talked about how critical it was for him to find the mentors, to find the people that had already found success in that area and to ask for their guidance.
Yeah, and it's really crucial, and I'm just amazed that our time is almost up.
So we've given a lot of attention, Susan, to having a guide and also to reaching out for support on kind of an individual basis. Also, this idea of community is one form of support. And it was wonderful to have our guest, Terry Hockett, the founder of What's for Work, a few weeks back, really sharing about an online support community that she had created where people could be having dialogue and conversations and really reaching out and asking for support and sharing resources. So that was neat. And then we had another guest a couple months back that talked about a very different kind of support, and one that you referenced earlier, and that's the area of spiritual support or inner guidance. So our guest, Ann Archer, we actually had two episodes with her where she shared her experiences and shared some tools for listening for inner guidance. So those would be worthwhile shows to go to if those areas of support are something that you're wanting.
Yeah, and we will include those on the blog post. Well, this is, it's amazing, Rick, that our time is just about up. So I'm going to focus on one small step. And what I encourage our listeners to do during this next week is to just write down the various kinds of support, whether it's expert support, advice, whether it is, you know, people who call you on your game, who will confront you, and people whose shoulder you can cry on, who can give you a hug, who can give you that warm emotional support. And fill in those columns and identify people who fit into those areas. And when you find yourself feeling overwhelmed, or that the dream you have is bigger than you, or that your uncertainty is taking a hold in your mind, reach out and ask for the support that you need from the people who are on your list. And so, Rick, you get our last question, which is, what's your gem of wisdom for our listeners?
Thanks, Susan. You know, I would say, and when we entered this call, I wasn't sure what it would be, but I would say open yourself to support. Actually pause if you're spinning and if you're really realizing that you're overwhelmed or you're just feeling lost. And find a way to get quiet that works for you. If that's going out in nature or just sitting down in a chair, get quiet and just declare your openness for support. You know, declare it to God, declare it to the universe, whatever fits your belief system, and then watch. You know, and you may get a nudge that, oh, this is the kind of support I need. You may find that a book comes across your desk, or something else, you know, will come into your path. It's like, oh, it's my belief that life is actually supporting us in the thing that we came here to do. And if we can slow down and open up, we really don't have to do this alone. That it's a partnership.
What a great note to leave us on. So thanks for being with us for another Perspectives on Purpose, and join us for next week's show when our guest is Ted Taylor, and the title of next week's show is The Bonus of Recovery. Bye, Rick.
Join Susan and Rick
next week
right here on The On Purpose Show, and join the conversation at facebook.com/onpurposeshow.